If you have your Bible with you today, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm amazed it's middle of August. This year has flown by. I don't know about you, but for me, for various reasons, it just seems like it has flown by. I mean, students are back in school. College students are headed back tomorrow, I think, or this week, if I'm correct. Households are getting back into somewhat of a routine, those that have kind of taken a break for the summer from that activity of school. And before too long, it's going to be the end of the year. And at the end of the year, magazines come out with articles about, that year's events, predictions for the future. Time magazine comes out with their Person of the Year. These are just a few covers from the last several years. The Protester, I'm not sure what that was about exactly, but Mark Zuckerberg inventing Facebook, which I wish he would not have, but he has. George W. Bush, the Gates, Bono, the whistleblowers, you were a Person of the Year one year. And again, I'm not sure what that was about. I don't know who's going to be the Person of the Year this year. But sometimes, again, they make predictions about things that will come. It wasn't too far ago, too long back, that a magazine made the prediction that by 1985, technology would be so advanced in our country that the work week would be limited down to 22 hours a week. And that the year, you would only have to work 27 weeks out of the year. And that by 1985, the biggest problem in the United States would be trying to figure out what to do with all your leisure time. And I just want to ask you this morning, how's that working for you? Because I don't know about you, perhaps you have a way better business plan than I do, or you're retired or something, but as far as I'm concerned, life just seems to get busier and busier, and the pace just gets faster and faster, and if we're not careful, many of us find ourselves in a place where life is just out of control. We're moving along at breakneck speed. And I do want to tell you, I like to be busy. I like to be productive. I like to make a list and check it off. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I learned that back in college. You know, the more busy you are, the more responsible and scheduled and structured you have to be, and the more you can accomplish. I mean, I was working full time, going to school full time, married, and you have to be organized. But again, if we're not careful, we get to the point where things just spiral out of control. We're way too busy. We walk too fast. We walk right by people. We talk too fast. We eat too fast. We sit down and we eat, and then we've got to go, got to run, got to get to the next meeting, barely catching our breath. Besides that, I do think we're the only country in the world that has a mountain called Mount Rushmore. There was a comedian who said he bought a microwave fireplace. And he did so because he wanted to be able to spend an entire evening in front of the fire in just 3 minutes. But doesn't life get busy? We get going so fast, doing all types of things, and every minute of every day seems to be filled up with stuff that we have to get done. And before too long, we get to the end of the day, and we haven't accomplished what we really set out to do, or what we really needed to do. And life just keeps getting busier and busier. Along those lines, with the end of the year coming and the predictions and things, do you remember the Y2K craze when that was coming about? Seems like just yesterday, in fact. The tragedy of September 11th. Seems like just yesterday, perhaps, that happened. And time just flies by. When I was younger, people would say, as you get older, time's just going to fly by. I guess I'm getting older because time is flying by. I'm 35. I've been married 14 years. We have 3 children, 11, 9, and 6. And it's like, where did the time go? How do we make time for all these different activities and things that we're involved in? We're so busy, we're moving so fast, and we don't really do what is important sometimes. And Paul in this passage today is going to say, make the most of every opportunity. Now you should know that phrase in the Greek is actually one word, redeem. That's the word, redeem. So Paul is literally saying, redeem the time. The idea is taken from the business world, meaning to buy up opportunities of the time around us. We're supposed to take advantage of the time we're given. Maybe even rescue it from being misused or lost. We're supposed to take the time and rescue it and make sure it's not wasted time. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul shares these words, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul's going to say, listen, I want to help you look at your time, to look forward to the days to come, to be productive with it, to be productive with your time. And he's going to share three truths, three instructions that I think will help us do that. The first one is we need to recognize our time on earth is limited. Be careful then how you live. He says, not as unwise, but as wise. Be careful. Make sure you redeem this time because we only have a certain amount of time on earth. We need to be careful how we live. And friends, if you're with me or if you understand, sometimes we're not very careful about how we redeem our time, how we use our time. I came across this statistic again this past week. It was a stark reminder of how culture is today. The average American spends about 4 hours a day watching television, the average. I know some of you are thinking, well, I don't spend anywhere near that. Other of you thinking, is that enough? But 4 hours a day watching television, you know, 28 hours a week. If you were to continue with that, that is 2 months of nonstop viewing a year. 2 months. A 65-year-old person will have watched 9 years of television nonstop. And you know, the days go by and we turn on the TV and we watch TV and it adds up so quickly. Now I do want to say, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with watching a little television. Many of you will be watching television from around 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock today. Correct? Amen. You know, and we have smartphones, we have computers, we have that dreaded Facebook where we spend our time. And I just want to ask, is it worth it? Paul says we're supposed to redeem the time, make the most of the time. It just flies on by. And it's not just in front of the television. If we're not careful, work can become a problem as well as we try to redeem the time and maybe not succeed. There's this concept, I don't know if you've heard this before, but someone approached their boss about taking a day off. The boss responded, "You want to take a day off? There are 365 days available to work each year, right? Well, there are 52 weeks per year in which you already have 2 days off per week, and that means you only have 261 days to work each year. Well, since you spend 16 hours a day away from work, you've already used up 170 days, leaving only 91 days available to you. Well, you spend 30 minutes each day on a coffee break. That counts for 23 days each year, and that leaves 68 days available to work. You have an hour of lunch each day, so you've used up another 46 days, leaving only 22 days available for work. You normally spend 2 days home on sick leave, so you've got 20 days left to work. Remember, there are 5 holidays in the year that we honor, so you're down to 15 days. And we usually give 2 weeks of vacation every year, so you really are only working 1 day. And if you think you're going to get that day off, then something is wrong with you. Now, I know the math doesn't work out there, but it's fun to kind of consider that, how fast time goes by. And Paul says in our passage, we're supposed to make the best use of our time. We're supposed to redeem the time. We're not given much of it. The psalmist puts it this way, Psalm chapter 39, verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And Paul says in our passage, we're to redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity because time is short. We need to make our minutes count. There was an article in the People magazine some time back, and you know, at first glance I thought, I don't really like that article. It talked about, you know, it was called Dead Ahead. And it talked about this death calendar, this death clock that you could look up online. And I looked it up. You can Google it if you want to. And you type in your date of birth. You type in your, you know, your health. If you're a non-smoker, your family history, those sorts of things. If you own a pet, that will extend your average lifespan. If you go to church, congratulations, those of you that are here this morning, that will extend your life on average. You type in all this information and you hit enter and it determines, you know, to the day when you will die. Okay? Or when you're supposed to die on average. And I think about that and it's like, well, that's kind of morbid to know that, you know, they're predicting on this certain day. But the psalmist says, measure our days. Realize our days are limited. We don't have a lot of time. We're to redeem the time to make the most of every opportunity. And I have to tell you, if the average man lives to be 75 years of age, and some of you are above average, but if the average man lives to be 75 years of age, I'm about 47% gone. I've only got about 14,600 days left. I've only got about 350,000 hours, a little over 21 million minutes. And you know, it goes by quickly, right? And we're called to redeem the time. The psalmist says, measure our days. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Make sure that we're investing in something that's going to outlast us, that's going to outlive us. Make sure that we're investing in living for things worthwhile. None of us wants to get to the end of our life and look back and say, my, how I have wasted my time. My, how I've wasted it. James says that we're not really even guaranteed a single day more. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Well, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Paul says, make the most. Live as wise, not as unwise people, because our time is limited. He also goes on and gives us another instruction. Not only do we need to realize our time is limited, but we need to make the most of every opportunity. Paul uses some metaphorical language here. Use your time well. Time's going by, and if good doesn't redeem the time, then evil surely will. And so take advantage of it. Buy up opportunities around. One thing we know about life, many of us have experienced it, but if we squander some money, oftentimes we have the opportunity to get it back, right? If we squander some food or some other tangible resources, if we're wise, we can oftentimes get that back. But when it comes to time, it's like land. They're not making any more of it. And when we've squandered time, it's not a renewable resource, a precious gift instead. Paul is trying to remind us we have limited time. Make the most of every opportunity. Because otherwise it becomes just a terrible waste to let life pass us by. Now in Scripture, thinking along those lines, Satan is known as what? As the thief. As a robber. And I think there's many ways that he steals from us, takes the joy out of life, burdens us down. But one other way I think we often overlook is by making us busy. One of the ways that Satan perhaps loves to rob us most is our time. Nothing he would rather do than to get us busy and distracted and to squander away the one resource that we have no more of. He loves for us to waste time. It's precious, it's priceless, and when we waste it, when we could do it, use it spending, spend it doing good things, it's a terrible waste. Now there's certainly a waste of time when we do evil things with it. And Satan does distract us with all types of temptations and poor behavior and gossip and spreading rumors and sinful entertainment and worrying and anxiousness and things like that. But one of the things I think oftentimes we overlook again is just doing good things. We get caught up doing good things and we miss the great things that God would have in store for us. The most important things that God would have in store. It's a story in Luke chapter 10. Mary and Martha are there in their home with Lazarus. And Jesus is there. And Mary spends her time at his feet, spending her time with her Lord. And Martha's about doing busy work, getting things around the house ready, cleaning and, you know, preparing. And, you know, that's good work. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations, Luke writes. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And how often do we get caught up doing good things, busy work types of things? We're productive, we're getting things done, we're checking things off our list, but it's not the best thing. We've failed to do the most important thing of all, spend time with our Savior. And maybe it's not just spiritual things as well, but good things, busy doing stuff, But we miss the true priorities in our life, the things that we ought to be spending our time on. I've never met anyone who was a hard worker that says, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. Or who says, I wish I would have spent more time at work. Now there are people that don't work that get to a point and they say, I wish I would have spent more time working. But most hardworking individuals, they don't get to that point and say, I wish I would have spent more time at work. I wish I would have spent more time doing this or that. But instead, all types of people say, I wish I would have spent more time with my wife. I wish I would have spent more time with my husband. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. Or doing things that are really important. And Paul reminds us, time on earth is limited. Make the most of every opportunity. But we get caught up in this mistake. Caught up in the here and now. And we fail to deal with the eternal. The things that will last forever. Dr. Richard Swenson is a medical doctor. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he shared these words. One of the major maladies of our time is that we're too busy. We're full of anxiety and stress. We are victims of overload. How does that resonate with you? So busy, full of anxiety and stress, and we feel like we're overloaded. We're overloaded with commitments. We're overloaded with meetings and appointments and events and programs. We're overloaded with possessions and debt and things that occupy our time. We're overloaded with work. We're overloaded with information. We're bombarded with stuff constantly. We turn our phones off to come to church, but they're probably buzzing in your pockets at times. We're overloaded. And sometimes we get ourselves too busy for our own good. We're doing the good. We're forgetting the great. And Paul says, time is limited. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Now if we think about this, we're about 4.5 months left this year. There's about 3,200 hours left for this year. And most of us will probably sleep about a third of that. If you're a high school or college student, you may sleep more. That's okay. But 3,200 hours left. What are you going to do to make the most of every opportunity? Paul goes on with a third instruction and he says, you need to understand the will of God. Understand God's will for your life. Use our time wisely rather than unwisely. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So in order for us to make right choices, in order for us to make the most of every opportunity to redeem the time, we've got to seek God's will. We've got to understand what God's will is for us. And I just want to stop and ask you, how often have you stopped and said the words, God, what would you have me do with my time? God, what would you have me do with my day? God, what would you have me, how would you have me organize my calendar, my plans? I've got so many things going on. I've got things not even on my agenda yet that should be there. But God, what would you have me do with my time? How can I best spend it? How can I make the most of every opportunity for you, God? How often do we ask that question? Oftentimes my prayers are, God, this is what I'd like you to do for me. And how often do we ask, God, what would you have me do for you? Our calendars are full of all types of other activities, aren't they? I mean, we program our haircut and our dentist appointment and veterinary visits and classroom time, and we program other things. But how often do we program, put it in there, time with God, time for worship, time for Bible study, time for, you know, just spending it in silence and solitude. And you may be thinking, what? Yeah, just silence and solitude, listening to what God would have you do or what God would say to you, what He would pour into your spirit. So when's the last time you asked Him that? Perhaps for some of us, His response would be, you know, you need to make your faith a priority. Perhaps for others, He would say, you need to slow down and remember me. You've got too many things going on, you're moving too fast. Perhaps for some of us it might be you need to focus on other people and not so much on yourself. You need to spend more time with me. You're so saturated, you have worries and anxieties, and you got to find a way to strip all that away because you couldn't have a spiritual thought right now if you wanted to. You're so distracted, perhaps God might say. This is a scary one, but perhaps He would say, what do I need to do to make you stop and spend time with me? Because He's done that elsewhere in Scripture. What do I need to do? What needs to happen for you to recognize that you're missing the most important thing. And that's a scary thought for me. Paul says we're supposed to redeem the time, make the most of every opportunity. So how do we do that? I want to give you three real simple suggestions this morning. The first one would be establish your priorities. I missed the boat on this one. I missed the priority opportunity. But I was going to bring a couple jars in here, and I was going to, you know, fill a jar up with rocks and say, is the jar full? And I said, well, yeah, the jar's full. Well, then you can take sand and you can pour sand into the jar of rocks and, you know, is the jar full? Well, yeah, the jar's full. Well, actually, you can then take water and you can pour water into the jar and is the jar full? Now, at that point, I do think it's full. But the point is, if you start with the water and fill up a jar, you can't put anything else in it without it overflowing. But if you prioritize wisely, you can fit more into your schedule than you might think. When we establish our priorities, when we start with the most important thing, you'd be amazed at what God can help you accomplish. So what is the most important thing in your life? I'm going to assume that since you're here this morning, God is a pretty high position in your life. But how about the rest of your week? How about the other 6.5 days out of the week? Is God priority in your life? Because if He is, it ought to affect your decisions, your relationships, your schedules, every element. You know, a lot of times we say, I want to put God first in my life. Well, God ought to be first in your life in every area of your life. It's not necessarily a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it's a number one in each of these areas of my life, whatever those may be. Perhaps we can adopt the post office slogan, neither sleet or snow or rain or shine would keep me from my relationship with my Lord. I know we're entering that time of year, but perhaps it's even football will not keep me from my relationship with my Lord. Number two, schedule your priorities. And I kind of alluded to that with the first one. But if you don't put it on a calendar, I find it doesn't usually exist. If I don't write it down, if I don't plan for it, if I don't schedule for it, it doesn't happen. And so maybe it's half of your lunch hour. Maybe it's getting up half an hour early. Or staying up a little bit later to spend time with God, to spend time with your family, to spend time exercising or reading or journaling or doing whatever it is that it needs to be important and priority in your life. The third suggestion I would give you is just live out your priorities. Oftentimes life gets so busy that we miss it, don't we? We fail to live it out. We've all heard the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I meant to, I wanted to, I wish I would have, and yet we don't. We need to make sure that we live that. There's a story of a young gal, and she was in high school, and her mentality was, I'm in high school, but man, it will be so great when I'm off to college and out of the house and able to have that freedom. And that happened, and she moved off to college, and life got busy, and she was working, and she was going to school and studying, and she was in a relationship, and it's like, oh, it'll be so great when I'm done with college, and I can settle down and get married and have kids, and it'll be great. And that happened. And she graduated, and she got married, and she had kids, and life got busy with all the different things that take place. And she thought, oh, it'll be great someday when I retire. And so the day came where she was going to retire, and her boss said, you know, if you just stay a few more years, you'd really enjoy your full pension. And so she did. And the day came where she finally retired, and she got home, and she sat down next to her husband, and she said, don't you just remember and long for the good old days? I mean, life happens. Life passes us by. Paul is telling us, redeem every single moment. Make the most of every opportunity you have because life is short, it is precious, it is sweet, it is rare. Redeem every moment. Someone once said that life is what happens to you when you're making plans to do something else. I would suggest to you, life is what we do with what God gives us. Life is what we do with the time God has given us. That's life. And at the end of your days, you're going to look back and you're going to have to recognize that. My life is the time that God gave me. What did I do with it? And as for me, I want to redeem the time. I want to live that life to the full that Jesus came to give. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So how are you doing with redeeming your time? As you think about the different ways that you spend your time, are you making the most of every opportunity, this gift from God? Are you making the most in your life with your time? Is it simply wasting away, or are you investing in things and people that will last far beyond you? Are you investing yourself in your relationship with God? Are you making the most of every opportunity? Let's pray together this morning.